Well, I am grateful to be in church tonight. I'm thankful for the group that came. I'm thankful for the group that sang. I'm thankful for all the people that played the piano. I think if I counted right, there's about four or five or six people that scooted on off the piano bench. And you say, wow, isn't that wonderful? Well, unless you're the piano player, then you might think, I don't know why they do all this. But I'm just thankful for a great attitude from everybody. And praise the Lord for people who want to glorify God with their talents. And I'm thankful for that. Well, I do want to also thank the Lord for what has happened today. We had a wonderful crowd this morning. There were 191 people at the first service and 529 at the second service. And for all those folks that do math quickly in your head, Amy says, don't do it unless you wrote it down. So I wrote it down, Amy. I got that's a total of 720 here this morning. We thank God for that. And we had one that got saved up here, a young lady, and others were dealt with and were just get assurance and get some other things straightened out, but they were already saved. And then we thank the Lord for five people that joined, three in the early service, two in the second service. And God is just wonderfully blessing our church, and we're grateful for what He is doing. And then we're grateful to have this good group here tonight, and we're thankful for the Crown College. Brother Randy, the fellow that's leading the group, I got to eat with his grandpa the other night. I was at a missions meeting, and I was able to speak, and they recognized his granddad for being 50 years in mission work. And he comes from a good line, a good family of folks that have been faithful to the Lord, and he's got a great heritage as well. Well, I want to preach to you for a little while, so if you'd look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 7, and I will preach to you for just a little while. Got an exciting announcement at the end about some folks here in the church. And I want you, though, to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 1. As you find your place there in 2 Corinthians, verse number 1, having therefore these promises, those promises that are up in the verses before in the last chapter, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And I want to preach for a little while about us that we're supposed to clean up. You know, a mom comes into her kid's room and says, you don't have to clean this place up. I want to actually be able to see the floor here in a little bit. How many of you know that if you're not careful, teenagers keep their room in such a way that you don't have to worry about the carpet getting worn out? Carpet hadn't been seen in 4 years. I mean, being carpeted underneath there, the hardwood floor, the ceiling on top of that, it's padded by 18 inches of layer of clothes. And so you think about this, some teenagers, you go into their room and that could be used as a lab research project. See how long it takes for things to grow and all of that. I think about not only children, I think about a boss comes to maybe a manager comes to all the employees and says, we want to clean our workstations because we're having this inspection by somebody in corporate or whatever it is. We want to keep things cleaned up. And in this verse, God tells us, His people, that we ought to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. I think about this when I served on staff at Franklin Road. There would be different times, different preachers would come through who we greatly admired, and we would think about this. A pastor would tell us in staff meeting that Brother Willette was coming through, Clyde Box back in the day, an old preacher used to preach at the Sword Conference all the time, and they would come through, and so everybody would straighten up their little area because Pastor Norris wanted us to look good, so he looked good. So when that pastor left, he said, wow, that church looks good. You know how it goes. It's about like at our house, that when somebody's coming over, it's amazing that you live in such a different way when people come over than you do the rest of your life. Meaning that when some company's coming over, then you put everything away. You put everything somewhere, off the counters, off the floors, off the tables. The rest of the time, you're using that treadmill as a clothes closet. The rest of the time, you're using that kitchen table as a catch-all. When you come in the door, just get set over there. But boy, when company's coming, I thought about this. Wouldn't you love to be as strong in your life as that closet door that's holding all the stuff that your kids threw in there and then jammed shut before company came? And you know that closet door is about ready to burst at any time because that stuff is just creaking out against it. May we be as strong as that closet door. But sometimes you tell the last thing, kids, just clean up, clean it up, get the junk out, get ready. Somebody's coming. And God says here in his word that since we have these promises, and what promises are those? You look back in verse number 18, and he will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. It's following the verses where it says we're supposed to come out from among them, the world, be separate and touch not the unclean thing and live in that way. Be not unequally yoked in verse number 14. All of these questions, what concord has Christ with Belial, or what part hath an infidel with a believer with an infidel, all about that in cleaning up your life and your walk with the Lord so that you're noticeable and that you're marked and you're noted as being a Christian. Having therefore in verse 1, these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. So I see, first of all, there's a command to clean up. Let us cleanse ourselves. It's not an option up for discussion. It's not something that can be debated. It can be, but it shouldn't be. It's not something that you should say, well, I'm not sure if I want to do that or not. I don't know if God meant me to do that. Sometimes you walk out of a class back when you were in school, and even as you're walking out, you're not completely sure what the assignment was that the teacher gave. And later that night, you try to connect with one of your fellow students. You say, what was that he or she said to do? They're not sure either, and they're not certain of all the details, and they can't tell you what exactly you're supposed to do, and you can't remember all that you're supposed to do, and so you're just in a state of confusion going back into class. Well, this is not one of those times. God says, for us, let us cleanse ourselves. So there's a command to clean up. It's a clear command. The Bible says in Jude, verse number 23, hating even the garment that's spotted by the flesh. And you and I are supposed to live lives. And there was a day when this type of preaching wasn't at all odd, that you and I are supposed to live lives that are clean, that are holy, that are righteous, that are different, that are noticeably different from the world in which we live. And God says in this passage that we are supposed to cleanse ourselves. You see the motivation, therefore, because what God did for you, because he's going to treat you like sons and daughters, because you're part of the good family, because you're part of his family, because you bear his name, because he saved you, because he's lifted you up out of that miry, because he set your feet on a solid rock, all of these things, because of them, let us cleanse ourselves. Notice those words, cleanse ourselves. I see, first of all, you ought to take responsibility. In that first point, commands to clean up, I could also label it as take responsibility. God doesn't say, he will clean us up, but he gives some responsibility. Cleanse ourselves. Know what the word says. And then straighten some things out. You know what it's like to have an attitude that you know is wrong, God knows wrong, your wife knows it's wrong, everybody around your coworker, you know it's wrong. Well, having therefore these promises, let us cleanse ourselves. It seems like we somehow want an act of Congress to get us to change a rotten attitude that we've all along known was wrong, but we won't admit it to the point we change and cleanse ourselves. My friend, if God goes to no trouble, nothing's any trouble for God, but if God goes to the trouble to convict you of something and knock on your heart's door and push a little thought on you that you ought to be acting different than you currently are. If God's going to all that trouble, why wouldn't you listen to him? If the Lord, again, is no trouble to him, but if he goes to the trouble of laying something on a mom or a dad's heart that their family is supposed to do, maybe they ought to help somebody, maybe they ought to reach out to somebody, maybe they ought to do this, that, or the other. If God's going to that effort to speak to us and lead us, why on earth would we not simply follow? And he tells us here to cleanse ourselves, the command. But not only that, the clarification is given, not only the command given, but the clarification. Look on in the verse, it says, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. God's concerned about every area of our lives. Some people talk about a manager and they say, boy, he's a real, or a boss, maybe he's a real micromanager. Meaning he or she wants to just control every little bit of it. And we look at that in a business setting. We say he or she can't grow that business very far if they're going to micromanage everything. Well, there's a difference between God and your boss, or God and your manager, or God and the owner of your company. Your owner of your company, your manager, your boss, whoever it is, they can't micromanage everything, but God is all-powerful, all-knowing. He does have a desire about every area of your life. Do you know me as pastor? I don't take this suit coat off and then on Monday say, well, God, I'm checking out till Wednesday night. God wants to control my life from now on Sundays, but also on Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And God wants to control or lead us and guide us in everything from, the Bible says, from all filthiness of the flesh. We see that he's got that command to clean up, but that clarification is that he wants you to do it in every area. All filthiness, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now notice, if you will, in that verse, how he says what filthiness we're supposed to get cleaned up of, all of it in the flesh and spirit. Can I just tell you what we're good at doing? We are good at getting cleaned up on the outside. All of us, most of us, wish it was all of us, took a shower in the last day or two. We got cleaned up and we scan the clothes that we had, and you know, I never care how you come. I think you ought to just get here, but I think after you get here, you ought to also honor the place you're coming. But we scan the clothes that we had and we thought, well, that would be a good outfit to wear. That would honor the Lord. I hope that's the way we thought about it. Now, I've already told you before, I was at Walmart the other night. I'm pretty sure the people I saw, they did not think that they were going to see anybody. They did not scan all the clothing options they had. But we scanned all the old clothing options we had. And we looked and said, that's what I'll wear. We're good at cleaning up on the outside. We're good at getting things to look good on the outside. But I'm afraid that sometimes we've gotten even better than we are getting cleaned up on the outside. We're even better than that being deceptive on the inside. Meaning that we want the outside to look good. Oh, how are you doing? I love it every time you come. And sometimes God will just allow you to see this happen. So if it's happened to you, you don't tell who it is, and neither will I. So, okay, you keep, if this was your family, then you keep it quiet and your secret is safe. But you'll see families. Once in a while, God will allow me to. And I can tell as they're pulling around the parking lot that their face are too animated. They're not singing Amazing Grace. They're like blessing each other out about something. Yak, 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 yak. And they come up Delta Street here and they get on the parking lot. They're still going at it, thanking the Lord for air conditioning because the windows are up and everybody can't hear. But then as soon as they shut that car off and they open up those doors, they say, Pastor. And the kids are like, oh, brother. We're good at cleaning up on the outside. But we're even better than that. We are at cleaning up. We're even better at being deceitful on the inside. But God says the clarification of cleaning up, he says, in all of the flesh and the spirit. Meaning God's concerned about not how you look. He's more concerned about how you are on the inside, because if the inside's right, then the outside will eventually get right. We worry too much about the outside and say, I wish you'd clean up. I wish you'd do this a little bit. If we'd be more concerned about the outside will take care of itself. You understand? And so we see the clarification, though, is all things, all filthiness of flesh and the spirit. I remember reading a little one of those Family Circus, or one similar to that, that cartoon used to be in newspapers. This little boy, he was sitting down a seat because that's what his mom told him to do. And a little thought bubble was coming out of that boy's mind, and it said this. He says, I'm sitting on the outside, but I'm standing on the inside, because his mom had told him, sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down. And then finally he did sit down. But the little thoughts in his mind were, I'm sitting on the outside, but I'm standing on the inside. And sometimes that's about the way we're living our Christian life. That's about the way sometimes we as children, we obey our parents. We'll do it on the outside, but it's not from the heart. We'll honor our marriage vows, but it's not because of a heart of love. We'll be a good Christian, so whatever that means. We'll be that on the outside, but not from the heart. But God says that we want you to, from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. Let me give you this third one. The conditions that we strive for is also in this verse. Perfecting holiness. There are denominations that take their title, their name, from this word, holiness, churches. But that's what the condition that God tells us to strive for. Be ye holy, he says, for I am holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 16. People ask, how good is good enough? And we're supposed to be perfecting this holiness, meaning that we're supposed to be getting better and better and better. People often ask, well, what's wrong with something? What's wrong with this music? What's wrong with this place to go? What's wrong with this activity? What's wrong with this outfit? What's wrong with this party? What's wrong with this friend? What's wrong with this beverage? What's wrong with this? Perhaps we ought to turn around and say, what is right with it? Is it making me closer to the Lord by doing it? Amen. We're supposed to be perfecting holiness. If you owned a company, and all things being equal in potential and performance or ability in somebody, you had somebody who'd been with you 5 years and you had somebody who was starting today, which person would you prefer to have? Well, of course, you would prefer to have, if all things being equal, they had the same amount of time to serve, they had the same ability, all that, you would prefer to take the person that knew the ropes. That is so valuable, somebody that already knows, they have the history of what's going on in your company, you would take that person. Well, that is the way it ought to be in us in our Christian life as well. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. I should know more about the Lord, and I should be more in tune with him. I should be more capable, or not capable, but more willing, rather, to yield myself. But oftentimes, we find it's the opposite when somebody gets saved, and they just get into faith, and just excited about it, and say, well, Lord, whatever you want. But truly, it ought to be the person that's saying whatever you want should be the person that's been with the Lord longest, because you know you can trust him. The conditions we ought to strive for. And then, the last one, the cause for this holiness is the last phrase of the verse, in the fear of God. Therefore, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the Bible says. There's a reason we ought to want to live according to the Lord, or living according to the word of the Lord, I should say, and because we love him. But there's also that fear, that reverence, that respect for who the Lord is. And it's something that's well nigh gone in our culture right now. To say there's a God to be feared. There are a great amount of folks that will say, oh no, I don't like that kind of attitude toward the Lord, that I'm cowering in fear. That's not exactly what the essence brings. It's that awe or that reverence. It's that bow before him. It's been overused and it's so simple that I hate to even give it. But when we talk about living in the fear of the Lord and awe of who he is, it's been overused and you've all heard it. But if Christ were sitting right beside of you at every activity you do this week, the simple question is, would I do it? The conversations that I have, the subject I bring up, the way that I speak to my spouse, the way I behave toward a coworker, if Christ were right there beside me, would I do it? Well, the way to say yes is when a person lives in the knowledge of the fear of God. We just live in the knowledge that he's always with us. And I honor him, I respect him, and I bow before him. Scripture says, having therefore these promises, let us cleanse ourselves. And as we close, I think about the personal responsibility that's shown in this verse. Let us cleanse ourselves. In a world that doesn't like to do much about cleaning up, God tells us to live a life that's cleaned up, sanctified, holy, set apart. All of these phrases and concepts are so foreign to even church right now. But God still wants us to live such a life that one of your coworkers says, I don't know what it is about him, but there's something. As opposed to when somebody finds out you go to church and they're shocked. Really, you? Huh, okay. It should never be a surprise when somebody finds out just through some conversation at work that you're a churchgoer. Yeah, I figured something like that. And if not, my friends, we ought to cleanse ourselves. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Thank you for this time to meet together. I pray that we would clean up our lives. Lord, I pray that you would just bless us. Be living clean for you. And here's the invitation, my friend. If you're a Christian, you know the Lord, this command is to you and to I. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. May we live those clean lives. If you're here this evening, though, and you're not sure that you're saved, don't know Christ as your Savior, not sure you do, my friend, would you please do the best thing that you can do, the most intelligent thing you can do, the thing that God pleads for, would you come unto Him, receive Him as your Savior? If you're able to, would you stand together with us? Give somebody a chance to come out of their seat into the aisle to the altar. Do business with the Lord. If God spoke to your heart, would you come tonight? If there's something heavy on your heart, would you come tonight and pray about it? If there's something that you need God to work on, would you come just give it to Him? Say, Pastor, I can give it to Him where I'm standing. Sure you can, but you're welcome to come if you like. And my friend, please, please, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you step out and come? Brother Daniel's right down here in front. Would love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure. People this morning stepped out and came. At least one put their faith in Jesus Christ. Would you do the same? Maybe there's some other spiritual need you have. You come if God's leading you. Thank you so much. You may be seated just for a moment. A couple of announcements, then we'll have Kyle come and close us in prayer. But I'm grateful for all that God has given us. If you're interested in bringing a turkey, here, let me explain in case you didn't hear. Brother Daniel has worked this out, our Thanksgiving project, and we've got about, I think, 200 families that we're going to be delivering meals to this coming Saturday. And we'll get the gospel into every home, at least in written form. And if we can do more, then we will certainly do that. But if you can come and take one of those meals or several of them, then we'd love to have you. That's at 9 on Saturday. So we need your help. If you can, you can sign up on the app. And then on Friday before that at 10, they're going to package all those things up over the Family Life Center. This is going to be a great way for us to get the gospel to people. I'm looking forward to Saturday taking some meals to homes of people that are in need and that we get to do it in Jesus' name. And I'm grateful for that. So that's just something I want to keep you up to date on. And then I think a week from tonight, Brother Kyle, you've got a meeting with the Ridge Kids support group. And we want to be a help to folks that have special needs, young people. And we want to do all that we can for families and our church and in our area. And so this and many other things going on. So I challenge you to be involved with that. But I've got big news about one of the families in our church. Let me read this poem to you. A family in our church has found their home's been alive with noise. Three cheerful little singers, all of them busy boys. And now the Lord is blessing them with even more to share. Another little melody is growing under care. So lift your hearts in praise today for blessings soon to be. One more voice will blend right in with the Wakefield harmony. Amen. So Becca has been not busy enough, and so going to add another kid around, and so we're praising the Lord that these boys will have a little brother, a little sister, and so we just wanted to rejoice with our church family and give you that poem, so praise the Lord for that. Well, here's what I like to do. I like Kyle to come and pray and dismiss us, and but then share just a word of testimony about the youth rally and then the youth ministry today. I'm going to ask the young men from Crown College to slip on back to the table. And these men, they did a wonderful, wonderful job tonight, and I'm so grateful for them. All of them college students except Randy. He's barely not one. I say that not unkind. I mean, he's on staff, but you're thinking, okay, what could we do to encourage young college students? Those of you who went to college, what could you do to encourage young college students? Feed them. Well, since we don't have meals, the next best thing is give them some money. So maybe these guys will have a little bit of cash before they leave if Lord lays it. Guys, would you just look pitiful back there? Let's see your sad face. Worse. Could you droop a little bit? All right. There you go. You're doing well. I'll let them get back to the table. And then, Brother Ace, if you don't mind, I'll stand back there with you in the lobby as well. And you get by and meet him, get a prayer card, and be praying for his ministry. Brother Kyle, thank you so much for the work, the youth rally. And then he's going to pray and be dismissed after that.
And well, I am just so thankful for everyone who prayed in here and many who had a part in yesterday. We had a great time yesterday with a great crowd. Had probably over 175 people here, and got to hear Brother Kenny Baldwin preach to teenagers. And he was challenging them. You know, it's interesting. We can see such a difference between good teenagers and bad teenagers. You can see a bad teenager, you know him. You can see a good teenager, you can tell the difference. But then there's a difference between a good teenager and a godly teenager. And he was really challenging our teenagers, and really it's a challenge for all of us, not just to be okay with good, but to settle and strive for godly. And it goes along with what Pastor was preaching tonight, and so praise the Lord for it. And we also had the highlight of yesterday. We had one girl make a profession of faith and accept Christ as Savior, and praise the Lord for it. It was a great time, and I had several other churches that got to join us for it. And so thank you for praying for us, and we'll go to prayer here, and then we'll be dismissed. Lord, we do rejoice in your goodness to us, and Lord, how you take care of us and watch over us. Lord, thank you for working in hearts and lives. Lord, thank you for the several people that have made professions of faith this weekend. Lord, their eternity has changed forever because of what you have done for them. Lord, we thank you and praise you for it. Lord, I pray that you'd protect all as we travel home. In your name I pray, amen.